Caregiver, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right. Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, the big LA, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio and iTunes and Stitcher Radio and a whole bunch of places. So our goal here is to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. And we have an exciting show planned for you. Peter Rosenberger and going to be talking about what to do about that holiday stress that comes around the holiday time. You know what I'm talking about. Uncle Harry and Aunt Sally and all those other relatives that we don't quite get along with, do we? And when you become a caregiver and you have a loved one, it just is magnified times 10. So, as I said, I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and the show is the caregivers of every single kind. And the one thing we know about caregiving and caregivers is that they're caring and they're selfless and they're sacrificial souls and they have this tiny little problem, just a tiny little problem. They're very prone to burnout. Obviously, that's a big problem because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. And we can learn something from the airlines because they tell us in the event of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first. I mean, what an amazing metaphor for all of life. Take care of you first, not out of selfishness, but out of survival. So, we talk about grief and we loss. We talk about grief and loss here also, and the devastating effects they can have on us. Sometimes we suffer a loss, we go through a grief process, and that could take days or weeks or months or years to get through. Everyone is different. But if it's been 5 years or 4 years or 3 years and you're still going through it and you want to be past it, then maybe we can help you out. Maybe we can help you get unstuck if you feel like you're stuck. So I just want to take this time and thank my last week's guest, Yasmin Shah, author, and just want to remind you that that interview and all our interviews are recorded, and you can hear them on my website, caregiverscaregiver.com. That's caregivers with an S and caregiver without an S .com, and also on YouTube and iTunes, everywhere. And we're so excited that my new book is the bestseller on Amazon. You know what the problem is? I forgot to do my vocal exercises today. La 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 la. I do that before I go on TV because otherwise you sound like you got marbles in your mouth. Anyway, we are doing great. I've been on 17, no, 16 shows, and I've got seven more booked that I have to somehow fit into my schedule. It's not going to happen in December. It's not going to happen in January because we're in Hawaii helping Charlene recover from my last 2 months of a book tour because it was, she had to be alone a lot with a caregiver, and she'd rather be alone with me. So this is her reward, a month in Hawaii. Isn't that nice? So this book tour we've been on, it's all across the country, and we are just excited that the book sales are increasing and that our message is getting out. And I've just been booked on an international syndicated show, so now I'm an international best-selling caregiver advocate, because as we raise the awareness of caregivers dying, caregivers' lives will be saved, and that's a good thing. Well, enough of all that. Let's get to our guest, Peter. Are you still there, Peter, waiting in the wings?
I am indeed, but it's Rosenberger, not Hertzberger.
Rosen, what did I
thank
say?
you,
Hertzberger,
Peter.
Rosenberger. I knew
It's
that, but
Irish. It's
sometimes
Irish,
things
Dave. It's Irish.
come.
My great grandfather, Seamus O'Rosenberger.
Sometimes things come out of my mouth, Peter, that I didn't intend to. I mean, do you have that problem? It
That's
happens
all
ever
right.
since I turned 55, and I'm 63 now.
That's all right. That's all right. I've been called worse.
So you're a caregiver for those people who don't know who Peter Rosenberger is, and you're a funny guy. You kind of a comedian. Were you a comedian before you were a caregiver?
I
Or did
laugh is always a
caregiving
big
make
part.
you a comedian?
No, I come from a very large family, and laughter is a big part of my life. And I get that from my mother a lot, and she's just got a great sense of humor, and that served me well in these many years I've been doing this.
Well, yes, a caregiver cannot survive unless he can laugh almost 24 hours a day. Otherwise, they would be crying 24 hours a day. So, why don't you take a couple of minutes and just introduce yourself? Tell everyone who is Peter Rosenberger and why was he put on this earth?
Well, why I was put on this earth is a longer story, and I don't know that I quite get that yet. But when I was in college, I met this beautiful young girl who, a couple of years prior, had had a very serious car accident, and she had set out and recovered from this. I transferred into this school. I didn't know her, didn't know anything about her. And then when she came back to school after a lengthy recovery, friends said, "You got to meet this girl. I think you guys really hit it off." And just beautiful young woman. I noticed that she limped, and she had some scarring around her lower feet that I could see when she was wearing some crop jeans. And but I just saw this beautiful young girl who captured my heart. By the time I met her, she'd already had at least 20 operations that I can count. I mean, of the big ones. I mean, there's so many different things she's had over the years. And I didn't have any frame of reference on what it was like to be in a relationship with a hurting woman. And I turned my printer off there. And I didn't have any kind of understanding about that, what it meant, or anything. I just simply saw a beautiful young woman and fell in love with her. I heard her sing, and once I heard her sing, I knew this was it. I was going to take care of this woman for the rest of my life, and
Love at first sight,
didn't
huh?
know what that would mean either. And so here we are. We get married, and the doctor said, "If you're going to have children, have them when you're young." So I went to her and I said, "Babe, the doctor says we got to do this," and I got a prescription and everything. I said, "I don't know if that's covered under Obamacare, but I bet it's covered under ClintonCare." And so we had our first son, and that accelerated the damage to her right leg. And after he was born, she ended up giving up her right leg below the knee. And then she bounced back, did real well, surprisingly, and to a lot of folks. And we had our second son, and then that accelerated the damage to her left leg. And so she gave that up in 95. So,
Oh my.
but the surgeries didn't stop there. Her body was completely broken in this wreck, and we're still finding things wrong with her. To date that I can count, she's had at least 78 operations, and
My.
both legs amputated, and about 75 to maybe 100 smaller procedures. We were just doing a procedure earlier when I just came from one. We've been doing, I think we've just on our seventh or eighth doctor visit today in 10
My.
days. Just going around, 80 plus doctors have treated her in 12 different hospitals, seven different insurance companies, well now over $10, $11 million. It just keeps growing, and doesn't show any signs. Next week, she's got to have another scan on her elbow because she's losing the feeling of three fingers now. She's got so much scar tissue and so forth in her arm, and transferring to a wheelchair as a double amputee over these years. It's just, it's worn it down, and if this was hurt in the wreck, everything was hurt in the wreck. And so it's just a lifelong set of orthopedic and internal injuries and so forth. And now I've been a caregiver now for 31 years. And 6 years
Wow.
ago, I started launching an outreach to fellow caregivers, and I started a radio show, and we just went syndication in September. Written a couple of
Congratulations.
books on this, and I speak about this on a pretty regular basis. And I'm on a mission, like you are, Dave, just to go out there and grab as many caregivers as I can and help lead them to a place of safety. I mean, I deal with it 25/8. And as soon, in fact, just before doing this, I was rushing to get her settled, to get a meal, help her get her legs off, and all these kinds of things. And then as soon as I'm done with you, I'll go back to it. And it just, it there's no, I mean, look at me. I'm only 25. Look what it did to me. And
You look good for
You know,
25.
I'm Nigerian, Dave. I'm Nigerian, and don't let this happen to somebody you love. But it's a grueling journey, but it's one that I have dealt with now for a lifetime, and I don't see it slowing down anytime soon.
How old is your wife?
51. So she's been hurt since she was 17.
Wow.
Well, you know, we all know that about 30% of the 65 million caregivers out there die before their loved ones do. And the ones that don't die, you know, the lucky ones who just keep living, they become sicker quite often than their loved ones, eventually needing a caregiver of their own. What is your solution? What is your prescription that you would write for this caregiver blight on themselves?
Well, I don't have a solution. I don't believe in solutions at this point in my life. I believe in healthy choices, and we will endure. We strengthen ourselves for the journey, like the old hymn says, "Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow." I started doing things for myself. I do a couple things for myself. One of them is martial arts. I'm a second degree black belt in Hapkido, and that's really important to me because it is it's self defense. In order to defend oneself, one has to value oneself. Many caregivers don't value themselves. And so what I do is I teach caregivers what it means to protect themselves and physically as well. I was speaking to a conference in Alaska. I don't get to speak and I don't get to travel and speak as much as some people do because I'm still a caregiver and I'm dealing with this on a regular basis, but I try to as much as I can. And I was in Alaska speaking to a conference and nurses who were also family caregivers and so forth. And I asked for a raise of hands, how many people had been grabbed by the person they were caring for? And 100% of them raised their hands. And then I asked how many had been choked. Nearly 100% raised their hands. Okay. So I spent a few moments teaching them how to get out of grabs using martial art techniques. And a little tiny lady come up. She must have been 75 years old. Little bitty lady, and I grabbed her on her arm, and I showed her how to do it, and she was able to get free of my grab. And then I spent some time showing them how to get out of chokes. That's physical self-defense, but caregivers also need emotional self-defense because we are there's no shortage of people who will tell us how to do our job better, yet they won't help us. And I don't listen to critics anymore. I mean, after 3 decades of this, you know, what who's going to come in and parachute in and say, oh, by the way, have you considered this? You know, it's a little bit insulting. I do seek out professional help. I go to support groups and I spend time with physicians and counselors and all kinds of people. But the average person who just kind of sits there on the sidelines and wants to lob a suggestion over the fence, I push back on them. Actually, I push back on them sometimes pretty firmly, particularly if they're you know, a little bit uppity when they do it. But a lot of caregivers don't have that kind of aggression. A lot of caregivers don't have that wherewithal to be able to do that. And so what I'm on a mission to do is help give them the vocabulary of what that looks like and then infuse them with the courage to go ahead and stand up for themselves. It's all right. It's okay. In fact, I think it's an imperative thing for caregivers to do is to stand up for themselves because they are so valuable and they are so important to this. And so, you know, granted, you know, I'm a big guy, martial arts and all that kind of stuff. So I'll push back. But there was for a long time, I didn't push back. I just kept absorbing body blow after body blow after body blow.
Yeah.
And you can't do that as a caregiver. And there's too many people that will come in and just put they'll heap so much shame on you or so much guilt on you or so much this on you. And my passion is to grab as many caregivers as I can and then lead them to a place of safety where they can catch their breath and then start making better decisions.
Wow. You
know, so that's how I do.
About care receivers like grabbing you or choking you and stuff like that. And as I started thinking back, you know, there were a couple of times that my wife hurt me because she didn't realize how hard she was pulling on me or something. And one time,
holding
you know,
on.
I fell down because has that ever happened to you, Adrian?
No, it has not.
Yeah, amazing.
Well, I deal with a lot of caregivers who are dealing with dementia patients, and you got a lot of, you know,
you're gonna have
that's more common.
Possible violence, yeah.
I mean, you never had that issue with your wife, right? She's just a little thing.
No, no. Well, she kicks me with her prosthetic legs, but that's a whole different issue. That's a marital issue. That's not caregiving issue. And those suckers got, they have maximum penetration. Let me just say that right now. And, but, you know, when you're dealing with a 5'2" woman taking care of her 6'3" husband with dementia, you're going to have some physical altercations. I was talking to a friend of mine at the grocery store, and her dad, and I've known her dad for 40 years, and he's just a saint of a man. But he grabbed the scarf that was hanging around her neck and started yanking on it, and darn near choked her out. Didn't mean to. He wasn't trying to. I was at a funeral the other day, and a lady brought her husband, who's in the earlier stages of Alzheimer's, but you can tell he's starting to really impact him now. And he comes and he likes to pat people on the back really hard, and it's more like banging them on the back. And it's very off-putting and unsettling to most folks. And she's just a little tiny lady. So these are things that I'm that all fit into the whole component of being a caregiver. You're going to deal with stuff. When you're dealing with special needs children, for example, they're going to react, sometimes flail about, autism and so forth. Yeah. I deal with a lot of families with autism and teach them how to, you know, and one of the things that I love what they do is they teach us how to better care for them as a family. You know, when you bring a kid in with autism to a, an event like a Christmas party or something, and it, and it's, there's so much music, so much noise, so much, so many lights going on, that's a very uncomfortable place with that child. Yes. And if it's uncomfortable for the child, it's uncomfortable for the family.
Now, before we get into the holiday tips that we said that you were going to do, a lot of people don't know just how funny you are. So why don't you just take three, you know you're a caregiver if.
If.
Well,
that's what you're famous for.
Well, I don't know if I'm famous for it. Jeff Foxworthy is famous for it, but he, I called him up and asked him if he wanted to do a couple of You Might Be a Caregiver Ifs a while back for a public thing, a PSA I did with AARP. And he said, well, write out some jokes. And I said, well, these aren't jokes. This is my life. It's not jokes.
Right.
And so I wrote them out, and I and then he and I got together and did these. So I'll do a couple of them. If you have a professional carpet cleaner on retainer, you're probably a caregiver. If you've ever hooked up your wife's wheelchair to your dog just to see if it would work, chances are you're a caregiver. If you've ever used Neosporin as a verb, hold still, baby. I got a Neosporin so we'll get to church on time. If you've if a hospital bed has never hampered your love life, because there ain't no use wasting a semi-private room. And if while at the grocery store, you're the one asking for a price check on suppositories, chances are you're a caregiver. And I guess since we're at the holidays, if you've ever cooked a turkey with dressing while changing a dressing, you're
dry. That's a visual.
Well, listen, we had a good time, Bruce. And I find that people respond well to that because they love the humor.
Yeah, well, humor is great. You know, it, even the Bible says that laughter heals the bones, and everybody could use some healed bones. So we're going to go to a commercial. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver, has just released his sixth book entitled It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. It was specifically written for caregivers who know they should be putting their needs first, but just don't know how. Dave is the sole caregiver to his wife, Charlene, since 1996. He knows firsthand what caregivers are going through, because he is one. And he now speaks all across the country, offering caregivers his incredible caregiver support package. Even the airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. They know that those who don't heed their advice often black out, thus becoming unable to help either themselves or their child. And caregivers are exactly the same way. It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. We'll help caregivers who are neglecting their sleep, diet, and social life, and learn to put their needs first. Pick up your copy today, or buy one for your special caregiver, on sale everywhere, and at caregiverscaregiver.com.
And we're back with Peter Rosenberger and Adrian Gruber. Did I say hello to you, Adrian? You got on late. You were having trouble with your
sound.
Audio. And yet it worked. So all you did was reboot, huh? Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
So, Peter, Tell me, have you had some memorable holidays as a caregiver? Have you come up with a few things that you should do or avoid, or people you shouldn't invite? I mean, just go ahead. Tell me what you got there.
Well, I've had lots of memorable holiday events. A lot of them been in the hospital.
Wow.
So mm-hmm. I've learned over the years that you want to do some pre-planning, particularly if you're going to have somebody coming over to your house that has some type of impairment. Do a few simple things, like make sure the rails are tight, make sure they can get into the house. It's been difficult. A lot of Christmas parties we didn't go to just simply because the people that were having the parties had 10 stairs getting into the house. Well, Gracie can do stairs, on some days, and some days it's just too painful. And by the time she gets up there, she's out of breath, she's sweaty, she's in pain. And I mean, when you live with someone in pain all the time, it's not just her legs being gone. It's just the fact she's always in pain and severe pain. So, make sure your house is easy to get into. Make sure the things are well lit, because I've had her walk into places, even though one person was flanking her, and her foot caught up on a throw rug, and down she goes. And make sure things like that, so the throw rugs and any kind of hazards around, just make it welcome. And that's not just for people with disabilities. I mean, think about it. If you've got an expectant mother coming over, These are little things, and make sure that the bathroom is accessible. Bathrooms and caregivers, we're very close. and make sure that the bathroom is accessible, restrooms accessible. If they're spending the night, get them a shower bench or something. Make sure that's available if possible. All these things are much cheaper than a deductible in an emergency room. Okay, I mean we're talking pennies versus a whole lot of money in an emergency room with a fall and so forth. So, and I've spent holidays in the emergency room. Not cool. So that's one thing is to see if you want to have somebody come over that has an impairment, make sure that the house is available to them and they can get in. The other thing is, I think that a lot of times when you are seeing somebody for the first time, maybe families are getting together over the year and they haven't seen each other in a while, and all of a sudden they notice one member's going down pretty quickly, or the caregiver's going down or looks pretty ragged. Play a little bit of emotional poker. they know, chances are they know that they're not in the best shape, but they don't need to see it in somebody else's face.
Right.
And if they don't know, they don't need to see it in somebody else's face either.
Don't act too shocked.
Yeah, just be cool. I mean, treat them the way you would want somebody to treat you. Yeah, they may have gained a little bit of extra weight, or they may have just aged, or just, whatever. Who knows? But it doesn't matter. Be gracious to them and try to see the heart, and not the outward appearance of it.
Yeah.
And just be gracious with it. Take a moment to notice the caregiver. We caregivers tend to kind of blend into the background sometimes. And way too many of us do. And people, I can't count how many people have asked me about my wife over the years. I mean,
don't ask you about you, do they?
That number seems, but I can count the ones that have asked about me. And mm-hmm. But the way you deal with a caregiver when you talk to them, you just basically look at them and say, hey, I see you, and I see the magnitude of what you're carrying, and I hurt for you. And let that be the conversation starter. There'll probably be some tears, and that's okay because it's important to cry. I want to help caregivers do is to cry healthy tears, not tears of rage and impotent fury.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Now, you reminded me of a psychologist. He was telling me, some good qualities of a psychologist is you want someone that has been around, who's heard every single story. So that when you're telling him your story, he doesn't react like, oh my God, I've never heard that before. It's like, at least fake it, like you're saying, like you're playing poker. Even if you've never heard that story before, even if he's shocked beyond belief, he's going to, oh yeah, okay. Because maybe a caregiver will share something that's been going on, and the person can't even fathom, like you just shared some things with your wife. It's like, oh my gosh, really? That was your day today? And
Yeah.
And you know, try not to act too shocked. Just try to say, "Oh my gosh," you know.
Well,
yeah.
What
are you gonna say, Adrian?
It's a little over. Go ahead, Adrian.
I was gonna say I was very blessed that, although Steve was a cancer patient, he never really lost the weight, and he looked healthy until the day he died. There are so many cancer patients, you know, that will lose the weight and start to look awful, and there's nothing more demoralizing than seeing somebody else's face go, you know, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You just take it in stride as much as you can.
Yeah, and
you know, that
you bring
doesn't
up a
mean
good
you
point.
Don't,
yeah.
You won't go to the hospital, go to your closet and scream and, you know, be really upset, but yeah.
That expression you just did, there are people who will actually do that in front of the person. It's like, I mean, control
absolutely.
Yourself. Really?
Absolutely.
Well, and
they have...
the lesson I learned from that, I learned that lesson in a profound way when I was in Africa, and with our work with prosthetics. We have a prosthetic limb ministry. We started, this was Gracie's vision. We have two, Standing with Hope is our company, and we have two ministries, one to caregivers and one to amputees. And we were over there in the clinic and, excuse me, had a room full of amputees. This is in Ghana. And I'm going around the room like a politician, welcoming everybody there, you know, and we're having a great time. And there's a lot of excitement. And I had that, it's that one of those scenes where you got out of the corner of your eye, see somebody, and I was stuck my hand out, but I was still talking to this person. And just as I turned, I saw this woman, the last person, she was sitting over in the corner, and she had her hand out. And in an instant, I saw the missing digits from her hand and the scars on her arm, missing leg, and she had had leprosy. All this is from leprosy. And her hand was already stretched out. And you could just see it in her eyes, and time just stood still. Like, she's like, are you going to welcome me here? You know, kind of thing.
Right.
And I thought, you know, how much more Christ did this for me and welcomed me into not only his clinic, his home and his family and at the table. And I just grabbed her and hugged her and held her. And, you know, and I thought, this is what we do. And,
yep.
And people, we're going to encounter people who are hurting on all kinds of levels, and they don't need that hurt added to by our unsettledness over their hurt. And I don't need to help someone else. I don't need to, and caregivers, and this is something important for caregivers. Please don't ever feel that you have to make other people comfortable with your pain.
Good point.
That's a big deal for me.
That's a big deal.
Because
yeah.
I don't need to, if you're going to come into my arc, into my orbit, you're going to have to feel the pain of what we deal with. And if it's uncomfortable for you, there's the door. I can't help you.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's one reason why.
It's enough
it's
work.
Crazy. And yeah. I can't carry you and somebody and Gracie. I can't do it. So somebody's going to have to get dropped, and that'll be the person who can't deal with it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's one reason why. That's one reason why caregivers lose a lot of friends, is because it's uncomfortable for them. They don't know
that's
how to
right.
act anymore. You know, and even before years and years before I ever became a caregiver, a friend of ours had a stroke, just like my wife, lost his speech, just like her. And every time I saw him, you know, he like my wife, wanted to talk, but he couldn't. You know, he was trying to be so. Here I am trying to understand what he's saying, and thank God his wife was always there. She says, "What's he trying to say?" You know, and this and that. But it was just an uncomfortable thing for me as a non caregiver, and I remember avoiding going over there next time because it's like been there, done that, and now that I'm the caregiver. It's happening to me. It's happening to my wife. She was like the most popular person in church. She headed every single ministry. She had friends, more friends than I ever hoped to have. And now, you know how many still keep in touch with her on a regular basis? One. Bless her soul.
Well, I was going, when I was at that funeral the other day, and I saw that the lady with her husband with Alzheimer's, and he was being so demonstratively inappropriate, but he can't help it. It's just a disease. And I could see her wanting to rush in and apologize for him. And I stopped her and I looked at her and said, it's okay. It's all good. It's all good. And you could just see the look on her face that she was stunned by that, that somebody would give her that back to say, it's all good.
That freedom.
Don't worry about it. It's okay. She didn't need to apologize for his disease. She didn't need to apologize for her pain. She didn't need to apologize for her discomfort. And that's something, if caregivers listening right now to this, to me, if they get nothing else that I'm saying, please understand that you don't need to apologize for your own pain. Your pain is worthy of respect and of care and of consideration. Your pain as a caregiver, not the pain you're dealing with your loved one's disability. My wife's pain is off the chart. What she deals with is horrible. My pain is unsettling, and so I want caregivers to know it's okay for you to hurt, and you don't have to apologize to others because you hurt. And if the people around you can't have, that's okay. If they can't handle it, then move on, because those people are not going to be, they're going to be a drain on you anyway. God will bring people into your lives who won't be. And
Yeah.
and that's why you do your show, Dave. This is why I do my radio show, because I have determined that I'm going to be able to penetrate into that horrible isolation that these caregivers
Yeah.
are feeling and let them know that they're not alone.
That sounds like a book title. Have you written a book on this subject?
Well, my second book will be coming out next summer. First book is done. It's Hope for the Caregiver. It's in its fourth printing. It's done pretty well.
Wow,
My publisher's
congratulations.
been real pleased with it. In fact, we were the number one caregiving book on Kindle 4 times so far with that, just the Kindle version. And then the new book is going to be 7 Caregiver Landmines and How You Can Avoid Them. That'll be out on Morgan James Publishing next summer and be released nationally. I've done it myself
Great
here
title.
locally because I just actually did it quickly for an event, and it became so popular, and I was having organizations ordering thousands of copies at a time to give out to their
Yeah.
customers. So I was like, well, okay, I need to do something more about this. And then I turned Hope for the Caregiver into an audio book, and it's done very well too. And I wrote it for
Your
myself
voice?
though.
Your voice?
Yeah, I read it myself, but I read my own book. I
Yeah,
need to
me
hear from
too.
somebody with my level of experience. I mean, and there's not that many of us out there in the 30-year club, and it's embarrassingly easy and simple. I mean, it's so easy you could read it in the bathroom. I know, because that's where I wrote it. And it's just, I don't try to complicate it, because I understand the world and the journey and the heartache. And I don't write about things that are the task of caregiving. Those are one and done. I mean,
Right.
fighting with an insurance company, I got that.
Yeah.
That's not that complicated. And once you got it, you got it. You don't have to spend a whole book writing on that, or dealing with doctors or something, whatever. But this is where a caregiver struggles in their hearts, and they are just beaten down. And we're having to look over the toilet seat. We're so demoralized. That's who I'm after, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Obviously, I've read my book hundreds of times before, or maybe 100 times, maybe before it was published, because you don't want any typos in there, and you just want to make sure it's all grammatically correct. But after it was published, I probably read it 2 or 3 times, and I can't believe that every time I read it, I see stuff in there and says, "Oh yeah, I forgot I wrote that."
Yeah.
Maybe I just have a bad memory. I don't know, but it's good to read
Well,
yourself.
it's
You do that
important to
too when
write
you read
things
yourself?
down. Pardon me?
Do you do that too when you read your books? You find things in there
Yeah,
that maybe you forgot about?
and also with doing the show and everything else and the podcast, when I'm going back and editing these things, and I think, okay, that's, but it's important to write them down, because if it writes it down, it just gives it that much more weight to it. I think I have a responsibility as somebody who has done this for as long as I have, through as much crap as I have. I've been the recipient of a lot of folks over the years who have cared for me. And what I've done is I've aggregated that into an easy to understand thing for caregivers. But I'd be a poor steward of all of that love and care that I've received if I did not offer that in a meaningful, cohesive way to my fellow
Yeah.
caregivers. So I think I have a responsibility to, I think you have a responsibility
Yeah, I
to
feel it.
write it down, because somebody's going to be coming down this path behind us, and a lot of somebody's, and they deserve to have somebody give them a little bit of a map. towards some peace of mind and some calmness into a safe place. We're not going to solve it. Anybody tells you they will solve it, they'll lie about other things too. I'm not going to solve it. But the goal is not to solve it. The goal is to live in a healthy manner and a joyful manner in the midst of it. And that's
I like to say not only survive it, but to thrive in it, you know, because it is possible.
I mean, I encourage people who come to the website to write and write it down, not just to turn it into something that will help others, but for the power of writing itself. When you write it down and you write it out, you're getting rid, not rid, but you're alleviating to a certain extent some of the pain that you're feeling in the very moment that you're writing it. And that part of it as a therapy is very important as well, I think, in terms of writing.
I agree with that, Adrian. I really do. Write it down. And just because you're going through something as a caregiver doesn't mean it's time for you to write a book. You know,
no.
You've been doing this for 4, 5, 6 months. That's a whole different set of challenges and circumstances. And I'm not real comfortable with people who go out and do this for a couple of years and then their loved one passes away. Then all of a sudden they're an authority. And I'm thinking, really? You know, how long did you do this? Because, you know, really? And so we want to be very careful about that. And I think that we're at that point now where we've lived enough and done enough that there's a respectable amount of time involved, where even though people don't necessarily share the same experiences that we do, Dave, but they certainly can respect the time we've logged in it and the mountain we've scaled up and down numerous times. And I think that's when you have something to say. But I was a caregiver for 25 years before I wrote my first book about it. Now, Gracie, I helped her write her book, and that did real well for her, still is. And
what was it about?
University Press published that.
What was her book about?
What is her book?
Gracie, Standing with Hope, and it's a wonderful book. And Liberty University Press published it. Jeff Foxworthy gave the foreword to it, and then I helped her write it. We had gone through a couple of writers. And the publisher finally came back and says, none of these people are really doing it, helping her do a good job. Why don't you write it, Peter? We've looked at some of your stuff. And I said, well, you know, I was a composition major, but it was a piano composition major, I turned to my first manuscript. I said, y'all be family here, man. I'm a product of South Carolina's public schools. Y'all don't, y'all be easy on me. And the sucker came back with so much red ink, he thought I'd been stabbed, you know, but you know, we worked out and they asked for a 60,000 word book, and I gave them 83,000 words, I think, way over. Uh-huh. And they came back to me and said, we're not cutting anything. Uh-huh. And I thought, well, okay. And I've been real pleased with that. And it's a powerful book of her story and her journey. And I didn't have to interview her because I've lived with her. And so and she put this together. But it took a long time for her to write. And I think in this world, we're so quick to go out there and bloviate or pontificate about our opinion when we really haven't spent enough time with the issue. What is the real issue we're wanting to talk about and deal with? But you're never going to get to that point if you don't take the time along the journey to write your thoughts down. It's they're things that are worth remembering. And then, like you said, 10 years from now, you go back and look and say, wow, okay, I see that now. Okay, I see where I was, see what God taught me then, or what life lesson I learned, or what I was struggling with. Oh, and I could see how I've moved past this and I've grown past it. Mm. And if we're doing it, then guess what? That's a benefit to someone else somewhere. It may not be a published book form, but it will be a benefit to someone.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to me. People are always telling me to write a book. And I go, why? There are so many good books out there. There are how-to books. Which, you know, how to deal with the insurance company, the bills, all of that. But I said my angle is entirely different. I'm there to help the caregiver without writing the book. You know, it's a space. I have a space for you to go to when you've got 5 minutes to spare is that maybe all you have to spare in a day to make yourself feel better and find an article which is pertinent. I'll write plenty of articles, but don't ask for a book because there are really enough, unless it's someone like the two of you who really have been doing it for such a long time and there's so much expertise and wisdom that's been gained that you can convey it to others. I did not need to write a book. I wanted to provide a service. And
well, and time has a way of sanding off all the rough edges so that what's left has some real, can really be effective at that point. You know, I look back at, you know, I didn't know what to say to a caregiver 25 years ago. I mean, but I've spent enough time with this issue that I've really come mm-hmm. to understand what the core issues are. And now I'm as a writer, I'm kind of branching off into other areas. I'm on the advisory board for Pain Pathways magazine out of North Carolina. It's a pretty big magazine. And mm. I've got it's a quarterly magazine they put out. And I'm doing a series of four articles from a caregiver standpoint on dealing with chronic pain. And then I just wrote an op-ed. It was in a Washington publication about the whole opioid issue. And I'm weighing into that. But, you know, I'm branching out a little bit into areas, but it's always still with the whole thing of the caregiver, the caregiver, the caregiver, the caregiver. And mm-hmm. And I've found that we caregivers have an authority that is worth wielding, but it takes some time to know how to do that. And,
right.
and to do it with directness and frankness and calmness, but you know, with effectiveness. And that's what I do.
Unless we're going to take another break, and then we'll get back to our holiday tips. These are okay. tips not only for the holiday, but for any
right.
time. So don't go away. Anytime we suffer loss, we grieve. And a lot of people don't realize what even the grief process is. But it could be 5 to 7 steps ranging from denial. I don't believe this is happening. Anger. Oh my gosh, I'm so upset this is happening, to a form of bargaining, how can I get out of this, to depression, which is a very serious thing because that often leads to suicide. And then finally, after you realize you have no more control over your situation and you're totally okay with the new normal that it brings, that wonderful, wonderful place called acceptance.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you and ultimately an investment in them.
We're back with Peter Rosenberger and Adrian Gruberg. So you know how what they say, Peter, you should never talk politics or religion with someone that is at a party or at an event. Do you agree with that?
No. I think that if we have to censor ourselves, then we need to get that's part yeah. of the problem we have in our country right now. We're so divided that we can't just sit down and have a conversation. I can disagree yeah. with people. I have very close friends of mine who I got brothers and family members. We're on opposite sides of the political spectrum on some of these things.
Doesn't have you matter. Lost any friendships during this last election?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, a lot of people have told me they've had friends that have just gone, whether it doesn't matter what side you're on.
But I don't. But see, I'm in a different world. I deal with harsh realities, things that are affecting me far more right now. I mean, at the end of the day, if somebody wants to get into a big thing with me, would draw me into some kind of political discussion or even religious discussion. I've had people say, Jesus is going to come back on this date. Well, how does that help me take care of my crippled wife today? So my focus is always back to right here and right now. I'm not interested in discussing the ethereal with you, and I'm not interested in discussing the what ifs or the hyperbole. Let's deal with right now. So, like this thing with, everybody gets all upset about Trump, this or this, and the only thing I've waded into, politically speaking, on this in a public platform is the whole opioid issue, and I do it without any fear, any reservations, because I'm still staying in my own experience as the authority, not my opinion. My opinion is bupkis. I don't even care about my opinion. My experience, on the other hand, is highly relevant. And in my experience, and when it comes to Obamacare or the opioid crisis or any of these things, in my experience, the demographic of caregivers has been left out of the discussion. That is,
Totally.
and that borderline infuriates me. But you've got they're passing sweeping legislation to affect these vast numbers of people, and nobody bothered to ask the people who are actually doing all the work. And now you got this opioid crisis, and I was watching the president roll it out. I noticed no caregivers. Now I'm going to be on a conference call about that in Washington here pretty next week, and I'm going to weigh into this thing because I am going to represent caregivers on that because I can. I've lived
Awesome.
with someone in chronic
Oh,
pain for 30
great.
something years. I've handled millions of dollars worth of opioids. I've dealt with four different pain specialists. Was with the pain specialist just before I came on here with you, Dave.
Awesome.
And I understand this world from a caregiver standpoint, and I will wield that caregiver authority. And so I don't mind getting into politics as it relates to what I have control over in my life. But if I'm going to sit there and debate, nonsense stuff, that's a waste of time for me. It's just a bunch of noise. I'm more interested in the heart relationships and how can I strengthen myself and my fellow caregivers today.
Well, let's get a little more practical. Holidays is a time of eating food and cooking and all that stuff, and the big meals where you're stuffed. What should people do or not do when it comes to food? I mean, that food is a big cause of stress. Preparing it, cooking it, where are we going to get it? What should we eat? What's on the menu? So many
Take
fights
out.
have come from that. Eat out.
Take out.
Take out.
Take out.
Catering.
Like the Christmas story, you go
Yeah,
to
catering.
Wong's Chinese.
If I'm going to stress over cooking somebody a meal that's coming to my house, they're not coming to my house.
Right.
It's just that simple. If you don't like what's on the menu, there's the door. Don't come over here and bring me a list of your demands. I'm not there. And I feel no inclination whatsoever to accommodate other people's demands. There's only one person that I do that with, and that is my wife, period. My sons, now I raised two sons, and they are, they'll eat anything and do anything, and my daughter-in-law is wonderful, and I'll do fun things for them. But I'm not going to make my life miserable to accommodate somebody else's, idiosyncrasies. Not going to happen. And then also, I'm not going to make myself miserable to try to make it all perfect for everybody when I can go down to, the grocery store and cater half of it. There it is. Okay. Why? I would love to be able to have the time to make homemade this and this and this and this, but I'm not going to make myself miserable and other people miserable trying to do it. I've done that before. I've seen that movie and it sucked. I'm not
Yeah.
going to do that again. And so I'm going to make my life, I'm going to make do things that make my life a little bit more simple, a little bit more easy.
Which
Another
gives
source
you
of
the time to enjoy it more.
Yeah.
yeah. Another source of
So,
stress is trying to figure out who should come over and who should not come over. What do you say about that?
if there are people in your life that you feel worse about yourself after being with them, then they shouldn't come over.
That's right.
I mean, if you have to work at conversation with these people,
Even if they're related to
especially if they're related to you,
you.
The worst tension.
Just because they're blood kin, you know, I'm sorry. You know, and sometimes we're the ones that cause other people stress. Okay, and I get it. So we're not included in a lot of things. Okay, that's fine. But there's, my life is stressful enough. My wife's life is hard enough. Why would I want to knowingly and purposely inflict more?
I get it.
Let it go.
I get it. What advice would you give someone who has a brother who's a drug addict and he always wants to come at holiday events because, you know, how do we tell him no? And how do you tell the grandmother who loves him and sees him as a little boy that he's not coming?
Well, it's very simple. No is a complete sentence.
What about grandma, no? Don't you understand? Yeah.
But, and to grandma, just say, please feel free to have him come over to your house. Lock your silverware up before he does, but have him come over. You know, I mean, I'm not here to be an enabler with people. Okay.
Yeah,
I have ridden that horse in the parade. I'm not doing that anymore. I don't want to be an enabler and I'm not going to cultivate that. I don't want to do that. If he's a drug addict and he's in some kind of recovery program, come on over. But if you're not in a recovery program and you're using and you're this, stay away.
So are you saying simple? You used to be an enabler? And a people pleaser?
Oh, I think caregivers are this close from being an enabler on any given day, particularly when you're dealing with all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's just there's so many different things. We enable, and there's a lot of different ways to enable, whether it's with drugs, with alcohol, with emotional codependency, with all kinds of stuff. There's so many different
pity
ways.
Pity parties.
Pardon me?
Pity parties.
There's no limit to the ways we will enable a situation. Because we don't want to confront it, because we're afraid or this or that or whatever. We don't want the blowback.
And guilt is the weapon of choice. Guilt is the weapon of choice for people who are dispensing that.
It can be. And there's no problem so bad that guilt can't make it worse. And so, you know, we tend to allow ourselves to get pulled into these things because we feel, I don't want to say anything. But there's a point when your life becomes so painful and so hard that you have to say no to somebody else simply because you can't do anything more than that. And that's a great place when you finally say, screw it. No, not going to do that. I'm done. Punching my card. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore.
So in order to do that, you have to not care what anybody else thinks of you. How does someone get there if they're not there?
You either not care about what somebody else thinks of you, or you value your own heart more.
Mm.
And that's not a bad thing. That's not narcissism. It's being a steward of this incredible heart that God made, this incredible soul that he made that is called you. And if you value that so little that you allow people to come and just stomp all over it, what does that say about you? You train people how to treat you. And we've all been there. We've all done that, where we've had people come in and just would treat us poorly or look down at us or this, and this. And we would just take it because we saw all of our failures. We see all of our, we caregivers are notorious for the self flagellation that goes on when we will sit there and just beat ourselves without mercy because of all of our failures that we see. And I'm the crash test dummy of caregivers. If you can fail at it, I fail at it. So I get that. But there is a point when we stop doing that and realize, wait a minute, what does God say about me? What does God say about me? And what am I saying about God valuing me when I keep devaluing what he values?
Yeah.
And there's a light bulb switch that goes off that says, you know what, I'm doing something extraordinary. And I'm doing it, however poorly, I'm doing it. And I'm going to keep doing it. And I'm going to keep doing it. And if I show up sometimes and I'm swearing like Yosemite Sam did in the old cartoons, or I'm bloody and bandaged or limping into work with it, you know, yeah, I'll have those days. But I still keep coming back to do it. And that is worthy of respect. And that is worthy of cherishing. And I want my fellow caregivers to know that that's who they are. That's what they're doing. That's what you've done, Dave. That's what you've done, Andrew. This is what we do. And that's why do we do it? Let me just ask you a question. What would you say to someone who was doing what you do? Would you say, dude, you need to do this better, or you shouldn't be doing this, or you shouldn't be doing this? We just should have all over ourselves. No, you would grab them and say, great job. Man, I hurt for you. What you're doing is extraordinary, and I am so proud of you. You would give them so much affirmation, and yet I wouldn't hang around people who treat me the way I treat myself. But I bet you wouldn't either.
No.
But this is what we're on a mission to do as fellow caregivers. There are people listening right now with jaws hanging open because nobody's ever said it like that because they realize, oh my God, that's me. I'm doing that. And I'm saying to those people, listen, you are an extraordinary individual. And Dave's doing a whole show just to reach you. I'm doing a show to reach you, to let you know that you are extraordinary. That's worth celebrating. That's what I say to those people.
They deserve more than the crumbs, and a lot of them won't even take the crumbs. They just like,
Right.
if they could at least put their loved one's life equal value with theirs on an equal par, I think ours is more important, but if they can at least bring it up to equality, then that's an improvement. And then it's not far to say, well, I am slightly more important because if I go down, everybody goes down. Put your mask on first, so to speak.
It's not necessarily who's more important. It's stewardship. Stewardship is a word that our country no longer understands. We're $20 trillion in debt, clearly. Washington doesn't understand it. And but believe me, we're going to try to make them understand because they're a bunch of losers. No, I'm just kidding. But it's so awesome. But stewardship is about, am I taking care of the best resources with the best way possible? If I go down, what happens to Gracie? So it's important that I take care of myself. I learned that very easily one time with very graphically with I cut my foot one time. Now, should I seek medical care for my foot? Well, she doesn't have any feet. Who am I to complain about my foot when she doesn't have any feet? All of a sudden, I realized these are the only feet she has to depend upon, and I need to take good care of them. So it's not a matter of necessarily who's important, it's stewardship.
Yeah, good point.
And are we being the best stewards of the resources we have? That's the way I look at it.
Well, we've run out of time, and I think you've given them enough
Wow.
meat to chomp on for the holiday season. So there's no excuse now to have a holiday stress because we just addressed it all.
Well, we're going to have stress, but
It's going to be
how we deal with it.
mitigated stress. Peter, thanks so much for coming on at such a short minute notice. Appreciate that. How can someone get a hold of you or buy your book or learn more about the opiate crisis?
HopeForTheCaregiver.com will take you to my website, HopeForTheCaregiver.com, and you just Google me. I mean, I'm out there, and Peter Rosenberger, and feel free to listen to the show, and it's live every Sunday at 3, and just the books
Syndicated
out there,
now,
the
huh?
audiobook, the Kindle version, it's all out there.
Is it nationwide syndicated, your show?
We're getting there. Not quite nationwide, but you can stream it on iHeart as well. If you're not, we
Okay, I
have listeners
heard.
in Canada as well. Pardon me?
Great. Oh,
Oh,
she's
no, I
writing it
just wanted to
down.
know if it was the same time on iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
Well, to be no, you can stream it on iHeart at 3 o'clock on Sundays. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's not
Okay.
stream on. It's not stream on demand. And then my CD is out. It's called Songs for the Caregiver, and Gracie's singing about half the tunes. You can hear some of those songs. Dave's featured in the video of one of those songs. If you remember that, Dave.
No. Did I sing a
You
song?
did. You sent me a picture of you and your wife, and you're in the video.
Oh, really? You'll have to
Dave,
send me that link. I don't think I've ever seen that.
are we having caregiver amnesia?
Yeah. Swiss cheese, hit a hole.
All right. Well, I'll send you that link to it, but it's
Thank you. Thank
the
you.
song. I wrote a
Maybe I
song with a
saw it and
buddy
I
of
don't
mine here.
remember. I don't know. I'd love to see it again.
Well, the song is called I Can Only Hold You Now, and I wrote it with a veteran Nashville songwriter here, and I wanted to write something from a caregiver standpoint of view. And Gracie sang it, did a marvelous job, and I just put a slideshow of all these different caregivers and mentioned their name. There's a beautiful picture of you and your wife there, Dave. You sent
Yeah.
it to me. I said, Dave, would you send me a
Adrian.
picture? Sure, I'll send you this one.
Adrian, I'm famous. I didn't even know it.
Well,
How do we get a
quite
hold
a
of
few
you,
people.
Adrian?
It's just Adrienne, Adrienne, at thecaregiverspace.org. And the website's thecaregiverspace.org. And the Facebook page is the Caregiver Space.
Well, that's easy to remember. You're doing an awesome job reaching people. And you've got little groups, depending on. Tell us briefly how many groups you have now and the titles, if you can remember them all.
I can't. I can't remember them all. There are only seven, but we've got a few more that will be coming in the new year. And
just a closed community with things in common.
Yes, daughters of mothers and daughters, because there are so many mother daughter issues, spousal.
Great place to send people.
After caregiving, all just different groups.
Yeah, just today. Just today, I got a text from someone who's saying, his 93-year-old mother died, and now she's having trouble dealing with it. So I sent him to your after caregiving space, because where else am I going to send him?
That's right.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you for sending people.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
And everything else. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. We're here every Wednesday at noon on all of those platforms, or just go to caregiverscaregiver.com. And while you're there, take our short quiz, Are You a Candidate for Burnout? And I'll just send you the Kindle of my first book, The One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, the amazing story about my Gracie, Charlene. And one day they're going to have a contest to see just who's more amazing. I think they're both amazing. They're in the stratosphere. We will never even come close.
They're amazing.
Thank you again, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.